D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you had a wonderful weekend and are having a wonderful start to your Monday, a beautiful day in Nashville, Tennessee. Derek is here dressed like he just stepped out of surgery.
Yeah, man. And what I have on now is what they call
scrubs,
leisure wear, just like athleisure wear. It's comfortable. It doesn't touch my skin when I'm walking. it's like I'm walking on clouds.
But you wear PJs.
I associate that color.
Yeah, they kind of like PJs.
I associate that color with scrubs. You are wearing scrubs.
I don't mind.
Willie,
it looks good on me.
Is that yellow or green?
That would be green.
Definitely green. I got a bone to pick with people that are in line and they get up to the counter and they don't know what they want.
Oh, it's
and
the
no,
worst.
I'm not talking about a restaurant. I'm not talking about a restaurant. I'm talking about a gas station. You go up and you've been standing there and now you're looking at all the pack of cigarettes or whatever you were looking. They were cigarettes.
Okay.
And you stared at them for about a minute. I'm like, you don't know what kind you smoke? Just ask the guy, hey, do you have such and such? The guy's going to say either, yes, we do, or no, we don't.
Or they wait and they like look at every scratcher. It's the worst.
It's just like, man, know what you want, get it, and leave. Everybody else behind you. I just had my candy bar. Maybe I need it anyway. I had my candy bar, and I just put it in a basket and walked out. Did I show enough patience?
No.
We could all show more patience at times, right?
Yeah, I guess that time I didn't. I just threw that candy bar in the basket. I'm like, I don't want it. Maybe I need it anyway. There we go. That's my grievance.
Thank you. Before we talk about sports, which we have plenty of sports to discuss over the next 3 hours, Teron Davenport will join us at 4 o'clock. We start our weekly interview with Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee at roughly 4:25, 4:30-ish in that range. So looking forward to having Clark Lee on the program every week as Vanderbilt opens its season on Saturday. Before we get to all of that, I do want to take a few moments to discuss a wonderful event that took place Saturday. That afternoon, Willie and his children, Evie and Mahoney, did an incredible job honoring the life of Aaron Donick. It was a beautiful ceremony. SRO, standing room only. Now the dry eye in the house. To my left sat Derek Mason, who was blubbering like a baby. To my right, my wife Bridget, who never had the privilege of meeting Aaron. And she was crying as well. Everybody who spoke, Willie, of course, his children, a couple of other friends and family. They did a wonderful job. And as I was leaving the event with my wife, I said to her, we should all strive to live life the way that Aaron did, because we would all be so lucky to have, again, a standing room only crowd of people who wanted to come to celebrate our lives. So I just want to say, Willie, because I didn't have a chance to see you on Saturday. I mean, I saw you. I saw you, but I didn't see you. I didn't have a chance to greet you because you were just being mobbed by everybody. But I just want you to know how heartwarming, touching that ceremony was. You did a fantastic job. Your children did a fantastic job. And I'm glad that we could all be there to celebrate Aaron. And I did not cry. I held it together because Derek sure as hell wasn't, and neither was my wife. So I had to be the steely
one. A rock
of
stability.
Right. I had to be the steely one in between the two.
Did you lean on him, D-Mace?
We had to pass the tissue box.
Pass tissues
back and forth between Derek and Bridget. So I had to be the rock, but it was incredible. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, I thank you. I was I knew we would have a big gathering. We had to plan, but we had 557 people officially. I think that's the official attendance count, like at the ballpark, tonight's official attendance. But we were so honored that so many people made it. And I can't thank all of you enough for coming. And I'm just glad I didn't make eye contact with any of you individually when I was up there, because I would have lost it. And our kids, Evie and Mahoney, were just spectacular up at the podium. And Aaron's boss, I want to thank him, Roger Dinwiddie over at Stars Nashville, who, you know, Derek, you've known him for a long time. He was such a pro right at the start, kind of getting us started. Her good friend Heather Morrison from childhood, who spoke. And then how could we not thank the man, Vince Gill.
Of course.
Who is the, there are some great ambassadors of Nashville, but if I'm starting to list the best ambassadors of Nashville, I would always put Vince Gill at number one. Just so much of a connector of so many people, and we were honored that he sang a couple of songs in Aaron's name. So just fantastic. And the folks at Oz Arts Nashville, the Osgener family, Arnita and Tim, who we've known for a long time, our boys have gone to school together since they were in the first grade. But like, Arnita is such a great stickler for detail, down to having the tissue to pass to everybody. That came in very handy for me.
Definitely.
As well. And Big Al for the catering. What a fantastic job by everybody. So it could not have gone better from our end, what we hoped we could do for Aaron. And thanks again. I can't thank. It'll take me a long time to get to everybody individually, but we had, think about who was there. D. Mesa, Barry Trotz was there.
We had, Poyle. Vince Gill,
David Poyle, Jeff Fisher, Coach Mace. Fisher came. C. Mace, how all my guys from and girls from the Preds broadcasting group. My college basketball coach, Eddie Fogler, came in for it. Roman Yossi was there for the captain of the Preds. It was so great to see Yossi. And I mean, it really was a who's who, but it wasn't about, that. It was just the sheer numbers and waves of people. I just kept told my 11-year-old nephew, Eve Donick, he was like, Nashville will never be the same. And of course, I was, that just shattered me right there. But I just said, it's just nice to have a lot of friends like that, isn't it? I mean, it's just nice to have so many friends. That's what stuck with me.
Okay, David Janes has just informed me of some breaking NFL news.
Oh, boy. Here we go. It's on now.
I cannot wait to hear the reaction on our text line, because I know it's about to come, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. From Mike Garofolo, the Lions are releasing Hendon Hooker. Sources say Dan Campbell suggested the other day the 2023 third-round pick could use a change of scenery, and he'll have the chance to do so now. So cue all of the text. Should the Titans bring in Hendon Hooker?
Listen, if he couldn't figure it out in Detroit's offense, how is he then going to figure it out here? There's a reason. There's other quotes under there as well.
We'll worry about that later. We'll worry about the fit later. Just bring Hendon Hooker in.
No,
we'll worry about the rest later.
This is what I've said.
Ball for life.
This is what I said.
BFL, baby.
About ball quarterbacks under that system. It's a hell of a system in college. It's going to score you a bunch of points, but it doesn't prepare you for life in the NFL, if indeed that's where you want to go and that's where you strive to be. And it's manifesting itself. Hendon Hooker, it could have been an injury that sort of, that sidelined him. That could have pushed him back some. But I just think, overall, he didn't get enough development at the college level on how to run an offense. He was basically, when they lined up, they knew exactly where they were going to throw the ball. There was no, it was because they spread out so wide, you got to declare yourself. So it was much easier for him to be efficient in an offense like that. Hell, Hendon, Joe Milton was good in the offense. Nico was good in the offense, sort of, kind of. But that offense just doesn't lend itself to developing quarterbacks for the next level. At least that's my opinion.
He turns 28.
Jeez.
Yes,
January.
Yes, that too.
I did not know he was that old.
Yeah. He was one of those guys who was fortunate or unfortunate. It's interesting looking back, right? It's a double-edged. There was a huge benefit and maybe also a downside to being able to play that much college football or be around in college. He played a lot, but he also was not the starter for a long time until he really got it together for those two seasons at Tennessee. But he came into the year. He came when you come into the league that late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Cam Ward is at a good age to come in. He's had a ton of experience in college, but he's not 25.
No,
right? He's 23. Hendon Hooker came in and he was closer to 25, I think, right? This is coming in his third season.
Second or third, yeah.
This is his third year, I think.
Yeah, going, yep, this would be his third year.
This would be his third year. Yeah. If, you know, he's got to find a team to have a third year. I think somebody would give him a
shot.
I'm
sure somebody will pick him up.
But you got to make it happen quicker the older you are when you come into the league. So I think that is something to think about. Now, well, I am really curious for the reaction in our listening area for this as to how much they beat the drum. But you've been saying it, D-Mates. Mm-hmm. This is the test. A test mm-hmm. of what you've talked about a lot. That offense that Josh Heupel runs is a prolific college offense.
Yeah.
And that's his job, to have prolific offenses in college. But it does not set you up for an easy transition. Yeah. And when you come in at 25 and you've got a lot of learning curve mm-hmm. and it takes you longer, now he's sitting there going to turn 28 in January and still trying to figure out where he fits. Time's running out.
One texter says, bring the Jesus of quarterbacks back to Tennessee and let's go get this Super Bowl, LOL.
It took 2 minutes to get the text you were looking for.
Yes. Let's go to James in Ashland City on our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. James, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm just going to say this before I even talk. I don't watch Detroit football. Mm-hmm. I don't know how things went up there. But I know I've been watching football since I was 5 years old and I'm in my 50s, especially Tennessee volunteer football. Hendon Hooker at Tennessee was the best quarterback since Peyton Manning. And I will say this. I think his calmness and his footwork in the pocket was better than Peyton Manning's myself. Now, does that translate into the NFL? I don't know that the poor guy got a chance of the proper opportunity to develop. How often did you ever see him on the field? Because I don't watch. Now, D-Mace, I know you're from that area. I don't know if you followed the Lions as a kid. Did you ever watch him much? Of the Lions, the last couple seasons he's been there.
Outside of seeing them in games.
Thanks for the call, James.
Thank you. I haven't kept up with their day to day practices. But if you listen to Dan Campbell, he said, one, it's almost as if Dan Campbell was saying, he is who he is. He's 27, like Willie said, going on 28. At this time, when you draft a quarterback at 23, 22, you want him to be – you know who he is at 27 in the NFL. There's no more – you may get a little bit better. You may – but who you are as a quarterback, that's who you are at 27, 28. In their mind, in the NFL GM's mind, Hendon Hooker has reached that point, and he's only been in the NFL going on 3 years. And he hasn't even cracked being a backup quarterback yet. So that's telling me he came in on a bad note, one, because of the injury, two, because he was an older quarterback, and then three, he is who he is, and the Lions knew that whoever that quarterback needed another chance with another team because he wasn't going to be good enough to be one of the top three quarterbacks.
Matthew in Nashville says, just turned on your show. Let me guess. You've already had a bunch of Titans fans wanting Hendon Hooker to come to the Titans. Well, to be fair, I'm sort of stoking that fire, but those texts will come. There was another piece of breaking NFL news that is Titans adjacent. According to Adam Schefter, the Texans are not activating running back Joe Mixon by Tuesday's 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, making him ineligible to play at least the first four games this season. Due to an ankle injury, Mixon will be moved to reserve/non-football injury, which automatically rules him out for at least four games. The Tennessee Titans play the Houston Texans for the first time in week four. So Joe Mixon will be unavailable for the Titans-Texans game in Houston in week four.
So who does that leave as their running back combos? Because Joe Mixon has done some nice things for them.
Well, They have Nick Chubb and Damian Pierce, I believe.
Okay. So Nick Chubb is also a guy that's a little bit of a wild card. What version of Nick Chubb are you getting? We know Nick Chubb was once a fantastic player, but he's had
injuries after
incredible injuries. Yeah. And Joe Mixon's at an age now where
it's harder and harder to keep doing what you've been doing mm-hmm. in the league. But they got some pretty good value for him last year. Yeah.
He's produced for the Houston Texans. I think he's given them that element of being a power back, but also can get out the backfield and catch passes and be a focal point in the passing game. I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how much of a, you know, big deal it's going to be, you know, when the Titans play Houston if he doesn't play. Because I'm sure by then they would have their offense already set and going, and that running back position, I'm sure they're hoping they can get something out of those, you know, something out of those two guys. So I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's more of a big deal at like the first two games, or if he can't come back toward the end of the season, because they're going to need that bruising back like he is.
Mixon had, in 14 games, he had 1,016 rushing yards, 11 rushing touchdowns, along with 36 catches for 309 yards and a touchdown.
Solid. 14 mm-hmm. games.
Yes.
But he did have some injuries last year to miss three entirely, and there's probably a handful of other games he might have mm-hmm. played through something. I'm not remembering all of this, but it's a good year for his age. And he is now, what, 29?
1 second, please. Joe Mixon is 29.
Yeah. It's just around 28 is where you get that crossroads with your team. We remember a couple years ago it came to a head. All that, the running back summit, they all came together and like, hey, man, we get nothing, man. We gotta do something.
It worked.
We're not paying people. You know, Derrick Henry's had some monster years since then. Mixon did well. There was some other guys in that mix, but there was kind of that thing around the league. We don't pay running backs. Mm-hmm.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Some Titans/Tennessee related news to start the show. The Detroit Lions are releasing Hendon Hooker, and Joe Mixon will be out for at least the first four games, meaning he will miss the first matchup between the Titans and Texans in week four in Houston. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the easiest part of any coach's job. The cuts. Now, while Brian Callahan wasn't able to cut everyone he wanted to, he did cut a lot of players, and we will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you out there that this isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinetics' Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Tune in for the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. and is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And FYI, at one point during the show today, you can win a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. So be listening for the cue to call during the show. Andrew on our text line, talking about the news that the Lions are releasing Hendon Hooker, said, these next few calls are going to be insufferable. Going to go ahead and imagine the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme playing in the background as these callers drool over Hooker.
Are they going to, though? Like, really? Do you really want the Titans to do this? Now,
it's
think
sort
about
of a
this.
Pavlovian response, so right? You hear Hendon Hooker, Vol for Life. Oh, yeah.
There have been people that have sung his praises for a long time and just said, hey, look, just give the guy a shot. He needs a shot. But remember, I was just reminded of this during the break by a friend of mine. It's a good point. Who was the backup for the Lions last year in the playoffs? Was it Hendon Hooker?
A coach from Miami, what was it, high school?
Yes,
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes. What does it say? That the Lions, when it was time to go and try to win a Super Bowl, who did they dress as the backup? Not Hendon Hooker. So if you're thinking, yeah, Titans, bring in Hendon Hooker. On one hand, I see it because you got nothing to lose. You might be looking for diamond in the rough, whatever. You're looking for a backup. You're saying he's better than Brandon Allen and better than Trevor Siemian, okay? But remember that. He was not good enough to be better than Teddy Bridgewater for the playoff run last year for the Lions.
He is who he is as a quarterback, I believe, right now. And like I said, Dan Campbell said as much. And maybe he just needs a fresh start somewhere else. Again, that's great, but, you know, I'm sure their evaluation of him is probably not off from on how other teams have evaluated Hendon Hooker, even coming out. So will he get another job? I'm sure he will. But being a backup and or starting, pushing for a starting spot, I can't see it. I just can't.
The Tennessee Titans announced today that they have parted ways with 16 players. Remember, rosters are due tomorrow afternoon. I believe the deadline is 3 o'clock, and hey, that's when we come on. So we will be able to react immediately to the Titans' final roster. But the Titans have parted ways with 16 players, headlined, I would say, by Jaquan Jackson. So Jaquan Jackson, TJ Sheffield, also a wide receiver. Defensive tackle, Josiah Bronson. Defensive tackle, TJ Smith. Outside linebacker, Desmond Evans. Inside linebacker, Amari Burney. Cornerbacks, Jalen Kimber, Clarence Lewis, Jermari Harris, and Davian Ross. Safeties, Julius Wood and Joshua Bledsoe. Released, defensive end, Joe Gaziano. Guard, Arlington Hambright, who sounds like the preppy villain in the 1980s movie. Arlington Hambright. And center, Sam Mustafa. Waived slash injured, wide receiver, Matt Landers. All teams must be down to 53 players by 3 p.m. tomorrow. So the headliner, again, at least to me, Jaquan Jackson, who, remember at the beginning of training camp, we talked about our favorite preseason, quote-unquote, all-stars, the players who come in, make a huge impact in the preseason or in training camp, and then we never hear from them again. I think we can add Jaquan Jackson to that list.
Yeah, first, I want to say this because I know we kind of go through those names very quickly. And some of the guys we end up talking about, like Jackson, but the other guys that are, you know, that also got cut today and will be cut, you don't talk about those guys. And that part of – that's the toughest part when you get to know guys through camp, because it's not just two-a-days, because – a lot of these guys are brought in before that, you know, especially like free agents or guys that may have spent a year with the team and then came here and they're on their second year, and then the rookies they bring in. So you get to know all of these guys starting the first day they step on to, you know, I call it campus, but step into the building. And they put a lot of work in, man. And that day for some of them, you know, it's everything. And you know, it's at times it could be, you know, I've seen guys, I've gotten cut on those days. You know, it's just hard walking into the coach's office knowing that, you know, you worked your tail off, but it just wasn't good enough to make the team. And then you got to hear this, you know, because you probably more than likely none of these guys have ever faced rejection, like a coach saying no. I don't want you on my team, or no, you're not good enough. None of these guys have faced it. And then they face it in a situation where it's like, man, you work, excuse me, you work so hard knowing that just trying to put yourself in a position where you're going to make a team and then ultimately at the end you get cut. That's the tough part because I've been there, you know, as a veteran guy. So I know how it feels for a lot of these rookies. That have to go through that you know, put a lot of blood and sweat, you know, into what they're doing. But the good part about it is the practice squad is a lot bigger now. So some of these guys, whereas when I was playing, I think it was, about five people, Willie, maybe six, where the rosters were not as big. So you couldn't bring back as many people on the practice squad, but now they can. So that's a good thing. And then veteran guys can be on practice squad as well. So I just wanted to say that because a lot of these guys' dreams are coming to a streaking halt between today and tomorrow. And, you know, I've seen guys cry, you know, coming back into the locker room. So it's hard. It's hard. But getting to Jaquan Jackson, I thought last year they were high on him heading into camp. And even in camp, they were talking about how he was picking up the offense and he seemed more veteran-like and poised. And it seemed like everything was going well. And then he drops, two punts in a game, or was a punt in a game, fumbles away a punt. Since that point, I don't think he's ever gotten back on the right side of the coaches for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, maybe that was something that he was dealing with and he let bleed into his everyday activities on the field, because I've seen guys do that too, where, you know, they get benched and then all of a sudden they just, you know, they just don't care anymore. And not knowing that, you know, coach want to see if you can fight it through. And maybe he wasn't fighting through the way that he expected him to. He didn't get much time in preseason. He caught a few punts, but I don't think he ever got back on the right side of the coaches. And he just kept falling further and further down the depth chart. When they draft two receivers in one draft in the fourth and fifth round, that's telling you something. That's telling you either you're going to show up big or we're going to cut you.
Jaquan Jackson was a sixth-round pick in the 2024 draft. The Titans hope that the top four picks in that draft, for them specifically, J.C. Latham, Tavondre Sweat, Cedric Gray, and Jarvis Brownlee, become key members of this team. But one of their draft mates is no longer with us, at least here in Tennessee.
It's still got a chance to be a productive draft.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I know Jaquan Jackson, he flashed early. Like, yes. I really thought last training camp, I was like, they may have something here. And he did win the job, but he never – and I think Kyle Phillips would fall in this category.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's shell shock, but the trauma of – the turnovers and the not able to hold the returner job. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just he wasn't good at it necessarily, but he had some big mistakes, yeah, right, that cost them, and that hurt your confidence, and it can hurt, it can be tough to overcome. And he wasn't good enough to in as a wide receiver to find a job that way. He was replaceable there. And didn't make a jump from year one to year two. But on the positive note, right, we're talking about Jackson because he got cut. You mentioned Cedric Gray. I'm very intrigued. He's become one of the more intriguing guys in this preseason, because you're like, is this a guy that did make a jump from last year to this year? Because he's flashed in these games.
Yeah, he has. He looks a lot more instinctive. He sees things. He's fast. The only problem is he's not big, and he does get pushed around. He has to make up for it with his quickness and speed to get around blockers. But he's shown up in every preseason game that they played and in practice as well. So he could be pushing for a starting spot opposite Cody Barton. So you're right, Willie. He's one of those guys that did show up, and he needed to show up. He really did, because they were high on him when he first got here. Then did he get injured during the season or early on and never could really come back? I think he played the last couple of games. But he needed a big camp, and he's had one.
By the way, poor went out for the 2023 Titans draft class. Will Levis, we know he's out. Tajay Spears is injured. I'm expecting Josh Wiley to be cut tomorrow. Then there's Jalen Duncan and Colton Dowell, who's also no longer a member of the team. So outside of Pierre Skoronski, not looking so good for the 2023 class.
So Skoronski is the only – he's the only guy?
Assuming Wiley gets cut, which I think he will be.
Yeah. And Duncan is still a project who was thrown to the Wolves. He came into the league at a very young age. I still would say there could be a chance for him to be a Dylan Raiden's kind of reclamation, late bloomer. He's got the body, right? You always look at Jalen Duncan, you're like, man, this guy should be good. And when he's been out there, he has been anything but good. But right. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter in the league, but he'd be a useful reserve that stays in the league for a while. He's got the body to do it. But you're right, we're dangerously close to getting to a 2023 draft that then would put you with four successive drafts that would include, this is what you have to show for it, Roger McCreary and Pierre Skoronski. Mm. And that's four drafts. Four! Those are your best two players!
Robert on our text line says, so you're telling me there's a chance.
But don't tell me, so you could. I want to read you that list. And the next person that calls, say, Brian Callahan's got to show me he's getting it. You show me a coach that has four drafts from 2020 to 2024 with your best players being Pierre Skoronski and Roger McCreary.
Who's not a starter.
Yeah, he's a nickelback.
Yeah.
with short arms. So he's okay. He's a good player. He's an okay player. He's okay. But those are your two best players from four drafts. Willie, but hey, give me a coach that can make it work with those guys.
Willie, why you take a dig? Why you take a dig at his short arms, man?
Both of them have short arms.
He can't help it. He was born that way.
I know.
Exactly.
Robert on the text line says, so you're telling me there's a chance for Xavier Restrepo. Well, he wasn't cut. He wasn't cut today. So what are we calling the Xavier Restrepo fan club? The X-Men?
Nah, there's already a bunch of X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Wolverine.
Yeah.
Cyclops.
Yeah. Could he be a part of the X-Men? Restrepo. Does that sound like a X-Man name? Restrepo.
It does.
It does.
A mutant.
Exactly.
He has a skill, Restrepo.
Yes.
What would be the mutant skill?
Robert, yes, there is still a chance.
There is still a chance,
There is still a chance for Xavier Restrepo. Michael and Madison on Hendon Hooker. I hope all of the Vols fans that were talking crazy about the Titans proverbially slapping them in the face for drafting Will Levis over Hendon Hooker keep that same energy when realizing what Hooker's career has turned into. Not a Hooker hater, just a realist.
I mean, you can't say Will Levis' career has been better than Hendon Hooker, but Hendon Hooker hasn't gotten on the field, so that's not fair to him. But again, he came in behind the eight ball. Your older quarterback, you're injured, and you played in a system that nobody runs in the NFL. They don't even try to duplicate it in a play here or there. Nobody runs it. And now you're expected to run a NFL-type offense, man. I feel for you. You were in the French class thinking it was Russian or something. You didn't know what was going on.
Sam says the fan club for Xavier Restrepo is the Strep Brothers. That's good. That's good, Sam.
Not bad.
Not bad.
I like it.
615-7.
Would that work into the Gonzi scheme?
The Strep Brothers.
You know I'm a fan of the Gonzi scheme.
Featuring the Gonzi scheme.
I think that can play. I will keep that. I'll keep the winds blowing on that one. I'm hoping that catches.
Okay. Good to know.
The Gonzi scheme. I've come around on that one.
Okay, good. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your thoughts on the Titans' cuts today. 16 players released, headlined by Jaquan Jackson. The Titans have to get their roster down to 53 players by 3 p.m. tomorrow. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, of course, the preseason, thankfully, is now over. So let's review Cam Ward's overall preseason performance. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is for Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen in Donelson. Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen, a beloved neighborhood hub featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, offers a gourmet twist on comfort food, and you can enjoy one of their 24 taps of craft beer selections, wine, and unique canned cocktails. Get half off a $100 gift card now at thegamenashville.com while supplies last.
Gardner Cam, you talked last night about A, relatively vanilla, B, the governor that you had on him to do no harm.
Correct.
With a dramatic change coming from that, Vance Joseph not caring about his safety and the schemes you're going to see, how much, to what degree is his world about to change? And what's the degree of the test that he's now going to see?
First and foremost, very, very, very stiff test right out the gate with the defense in Denver. Very talented, very well coached. It's a good football team. It's a good test for our team in general. So, it's going to be a lot different than a preseason game, certainly. That's part of what practice is for, is to try to get as close to that preparation as possible. But, it's going to be the first time against a really good football team that he's going to play the entirety of the game. And there's going to be learning moments through the course of the whole process. But I think he's up to the task. We're ready for that challenge and looking forward to it. But, yeah, it's definitely, there is no correlation, I don't think, in my mind, from preseason play to your regular season. There's no ability to make any prediction of what that's going to look like. Very pleased with where we're at and what we've done, but certainly the Denver Broncos present an entirely different challenge in week one.
That was Brian Callahan discussing Cam Ward as Cam Ward now transitions into regular season mode. Titans at Broncos, week one, 2 weeks from yesterday. Broncos favored, -8. We'll see if that line moves at all between now and next Sunday. But at the moment, Broncos favored by 8 at home against the Titans in week 1. So now we've come to the end of Cam Ward's first preseason in the NFL. I know stats aren't everything, but I will read you his stat line from his 3 preseason games. 10 of 19 passing, 52.6% completion, 145 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a rating of 77.7. PFF adds he had 1 big-time throw, 1 turnover-worthy play, and an average depth of target of 10.3 yards. So here's my question for all of you at 615-737-1025. How would you review Cam Ward's first preseason in the NFL? And the question that I will ask Willie and Derek, Willie first, is now that you've watched Cam Ward in the preseason, what most encourages you from what you've seen out of Cam Ward? And conversely, what, if anything, concerns you? Jury is still out, however you want to describe it. So a little on the positive side, a little bit maybe on the negative side. So as you review Cam Ward's preseason, what stands out to you?
The standout part to me is, and I'm going to go beyond the results of the 3 games. That to me is way down on the list of the whole thing. I think it's much more of a full impression than just give me the what do you play? 6 series, 7 series, 7 I think. He looks driven, and he doesn't look like it's the moment's too big for him. He's been through the fire of the practices. He's going to put in the work. If he doesn't do well, it will not be because he hasn't put in the work. And I know, I think I said this same thing about Levis, because I do think Levis put in the work. But I think what I see with Ward is an advanced ability on the way in to, I think he knows more coming in. He processes more. I think he works even harder. But I also think he does look to me like he's got the right makeup to do the job. So that's what I'm most encouraged about.
Derek, same question.
Watching him, I think the thing that I'm encouraged with, well, I know, is his development. If you watch from the first game to the second game to the last game he played, the stats doesn't tell the story, but if you go back, and it's hard to do, you know, while the game is going on to, like, watch it because you can't see anything. And the only thing they're showing is, you know, completion, incompletion, and they may talk about a play or a drop here and there, but you don't know if he's making a right read. You don't know if he's going through his progressions, and sometimes it looks like he's not. But then I would ask – each one or task, each listener, if they have an opportunity, just go to the All-22 and watch every preseason game he's playing. He hadn't played many series, so it's not like you're going to be watching, you know, 2-3 hours of tape. You may be watching altogether, you know, 15 minutes of tape. But go and watch it and watch how he processed from game 1 to game 3. He's getting it. He's seeing it. You know, there was a couple of times where if he had in the last game, it was a 3rd down. Moore gets beat in the inside very quickly, and he has to flush out of pocket. If he's able to stay in the pocket, Io Manner is coming wide open across the field. Is that number 5? Is that,
yep,
DK?
Yes. Oh, Io Manner. Io Manner
was coming wide open across the field. He was coming. It would have been a huge completion, but he got flushed out of the pocket right away. You're just looking at that as, oh, he's getting flushed. Oh, he doesn't see the – no, he didn't even have time to see the receivers. That's what I'm looking at, and that's why I'm encouraged by this young man. Like Willie said, this kid has poise. He's in the pocket as if he's in bed. And no, seriously, and it's not a bad thing, you know, because it's not like he's taking sacks or anything like that. The offensive line, they did sack him this past game, but the offensive line has been pretty good, to say the least. But – he's processing it well, he's calm in the pocket, and he's developing that leadership. once he gets his receivers, once they start game planning for actual games, I think all of those things that I've been seeing on tape, they will start to be magnified. Now, he's going to be a rookie. He's going to have, there are going to be rookie mistakes, and he might have a few in his first game. But I think once he gets it, once he feels it, he's going to be all right. And he's going to feel it against Denver.
Yes.
But I think he's going to be, because of that, he may be all right in the second half once they come out and regroup. Or he may be all right after the first series. Who knows? It may not be to the second game. But that's going to get him set up to have a, I think, a good season. Now, good season may not mean the Titans have a winning record, but I think he's going to be a positive for the Tennessee Titans.
Let's get to some of your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCalNeHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, I was totally out. Hard critic. My eye test, not the stats. He's not overwhelmed. Getting rid of the ball, he's got good help from the line, but when it's blown up, he's handled it well. Too bad Levis didn't have this line. He's even keeled, nice arm, has good arm talent. I'm optimistic now. He progressed as he should have to me. Maybe a little more than I feel he should have. Oh, I'm in. So Dustin from Hopkinsville, who was out on Cam Ward before the preseason, he's in. Josh, Ward has been promising. I like how he isn't scared or pressing in the pocket. I'm confident in him, not so much in what's around him besides Calvin Ridley. Another texter says, I would say pedestrian. The good takeaway is that I didn't see any of the meathead, bonehead plays that had everybody up in arms screaming, what were you thinking? But overall, not overly impressed from somebody that was a first overall pick. So here's the
I think that's the that is a fair thing.
Yeah.
Does he jump off the page at you? It's like, that was the number one guy in the draft last year. I don't think I see that.
Well, let me ask you this question along those lines. So you told me what encouraged you about Cam Ward in the preseason. What, if anything, about Ward's performance concerns you, or at least remains a big question to you?
D-May said this, and I think we have to prepare ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think there will be some ugly plays. He's gonna have some tough. He's gonna have some throws. You're like, whoa, but that stands to reason. I'm willing to live with a lot of that. What I think he's got to figure out. This is my concern that I hear as a thing. It's not just me. It's what I'm also reading. I'm looking and absorbing what a lot of the evaluators are saying. His footwork / variety of arm angles is, I think, a concern. Besides the regular stuff that when you haven't played in the league, you're gonna have some moments like, whoops, got to learn from that one. Like there's gonna be some stuff. That's every rookie quarterback. But beyond that, the mechanics of his throwing style, he can throw off his back foot. He can throw from different side arms and different 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 12 o'clock. He'll do it all. That can be a strength eventually. But he's got to figure out what works and what doesn't work, and he's got to do it fairly quick, and he's going to be under duress doing that. So I'm concerned about mechanics, back foot, balance, balancing your upper body, lower body, arm slot, like kind of like a pitcher.
I think he's going to be working on that for a bit because these are habits. These are things that he's been doing for 4, 5, 6 years, and it's going to take him a minute. I think he even said that. He's going to continue to work on his footwork and making sure he has a good base. He reminds me a little bit of Baker Mayfield from that standpoint. And Baker has gotten better, a lot better. But, you know, throwing off platform and your feet not quite set and sidearm, all this other stuff, you know, this is one of the reasons why they draft him. Because no longer can you just sit back there as a quarterback and throw at 12 o'clock. That ain't working anymore. You ain't just raising up like Dan Marino and throwing at 12 o'clock. Boom, boom, 12-1, that's all you're doing, 12-1. No, you got to be, like Willie said, you got to be able to throw that thing at 3, maybe even 4. And Cam can do that. That's what they like about it. Now, here's what I'm concerned about. And it's not so much him. I think it's the coaching staff. Are they going to be patient with him? That's what, because if this thing, and this is management too, because the patience come with Callahan as well. Can Callahan be patient? And the only way Callahan can be patient is if the people above him are patient. If they're not patient with him, he's going to press the quarterback. And that's not good for any young quarterback. But that's the fear, that if they don't start off, you know, say in the first five games, if they only win at least two of those games, then I think the pressure is going to be on. And they're going to try to push this kid a little bit further and faster than what they need to. That's the only thing that I'm worried about. And then injury, yeah. But outside of that, no, I'm not saying he's going to be great, but I think he has the makeup, the tools, what I've seen. I think I believe this will work for the Titans.
615-737-1025. How would you review Cam Ward's overall preseason performance? Again, here's the stats for context. 10 of 19 passing, which is a completion percentage of 52.6, 145 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a rating of 77.7, 1 big-time throw, according to PFF, 1 turnover-worthy play, and an average depth of target of 10.3. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on that. We will bring in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We will ask him that same question and more. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.